Chapter 9. With the Diggers Committee dispensing rough justice, a semblance of order came to the camps. President Kruger wanted no part in policing the nest of ruffians and cutthroats which was growing up just outside his capital, and he contented himself with placing his spies among them and leaving them to work out their own salvation. After all, the field was far from proved, and the chances were that in another year the veldt would again be as deserted as it had been 9 months before. He could afford to wait. In the meantime, the Diggers Committee had his tacit sanction. While the ants worked, cutting down into the reef with pick and with dynamite, the grasshoppers waited in the bars and shanties. So far only the Jack and Whistle mill was turning out gold, and only Heradsky and François Dutoit knew how much gold was coming out of it. Heradsky was still in Cape Town, crusading for capital, and François spoke to no one, not even to Duff, about the mill's productivity. The rumours flew like sand in a whirlwind. One day it seemed that the reef had pinched out 50 feet below the surface, and the next the canteens buzzed with the news that the Haynes brothers had gone down 100 feet and were pulling out nuggets the size of musket balls. Nobody knew, but everybody was prepared to guess. Up at the Candy Deep, Duff and Sean worked on relentlessly. The mill took shape on its concrete platform, its jaws open for the first bite at the rock. The boiler was swung up onto its cradle by 20 sweating, singing Zulus. The copper tables were fitted up ready to be smeared with quicksilver. There was no time to worry about the reef, nor the dwindling store of money in Sean's cash belt. They worked and they slept. There was nothing else. Duff took to sharing Sean's tent up on the ridge, and Candy had her feather bed to herself again. On the 20th of November, they fired the boiler for the first time. Tired and horny-handed, their bodies lean and tempered hard with toil, they stood together and watched the needle creep up round the pressure gauge until it touched the red line at the top. Duff grunted. "Well, at least we've got power now." Then he punched Sean's shoulder. "What the hell are you standing here for? Do you think this is a Sunday school picnic? There's work to do, laddie." On the 2nd of December, they fed the mill its first meal and watched the powdered rock flow across the amalgam tables. Sean threw his arm round Duffy's neck in an affectionate half-Nelson. Duff hit him in the stomach and pulled his hat down over his eyes. They drank a glass of brandy each at supper and laughed a little, but that was all. They were too tired to celebrate. From now on, one of them must be in constant attendance on that iron monster. Duff took the first night shift, and when Sean went up to the mill next morning, he found him weaving on his feet, his eyes sunk deep in dark sockets. "By my reckoning, we've run 10 tons of rock through her. Time to clean the tables and see just how much gold we've picked up." "You go and get some sleep," said Sean, and Duff ignored him. "Emma Janey, bring a couple of your savages here. We're going to change the tables." "Listen, Duff, it can wait an hour or two. Go and get your head down. Please stop drivelling. You're as bad as a wife." Sean shrugged. "Have it your own way. Show me how you do it, then." They switched the flow of powdered rock onto the second table that was standing ready. Then, with a broad-bladed spatula, Duff scraped the mercury off the copper top of the first table, collecting it in a ball the size of a coconut. "The mercury picks up the tiny particles of gold," he explained to Sean as he worked, "and lets the grains of rock wash across the table and fall off into the dump. Of course, it doesn't collect it all. Some of it goes to waste." "How do you get the gold out again?" "You put the whole lot in a retort and boil off the mercury. The gold stays behind." Hell of a waste of mercury, isn't it? No, you catch it as it condenses and use it again. Come on, I'll show you. Duff carried the ball of amalgam down to the shed, placed it in the retort, and lit the blow lamp. With the heat on it, the ball dissolved and started to bubble. Silently they stared at it. The level in the retort fell. "Where's the gold?" Sean asked at last. "Oh, shut up," Duff snapped impatiently, and then repentant. "Sorry, laddie, I feel a bit jaded this morning." The last of the mercury steamed off, and there it was, glowing bright, molten yellow. A drop of gold, the size of a pea. Duff shut off the blow lamp, and neither of them spoke for a while. Then Sean asked, "Is that all?" "That, my friend, is all," agreed Duff wearily. "What do you want to do with it? Fill a tooth?" He turned towards the door with a droop to his whole body. "Keep the mill turning. We might as well go down with our colours flying."